Thanks so much for joining us. My name's Hoffman Wolf, and I'm the social economy manager at CNET. Quebec's a world leader in the social economy. We're here to highlight some of the innovative things social enterprises are doing here and to meet some of the really cool people involved in them. Today's theme is crowdfunding and the sharing economy. At one time or another, you've probably needed a tool for a job you were doing around the house. You didn't know anyone you could borrow the tool from, so you had to buy it. After you used it the one time, it never got much use again, and it sits gathering dust in the basement. What if borrowing tools for these infrequent tasks were easier? We'll be joined by Anya Kreisch, one of the founders of L'Outillerie, a nonprofit library of things, or tool-sharing social economy enterprise, in Rimouski. She'll talk about how growing up in East Germany gave her a unique perspective on the sharing economy, and how the L'Outillerie team turned crowdfunding into a major source of revenue for starting up the enterprise. Today on the show, we're really happy to have Anya Kreisch, who works with the L'Outillerie, which is a tool sharing. How do you guys describe what L'Outillerie is?
Yeah, we call it a library of things, but that's what we are doing. We're lending tools, equipment for gardening, for kitchen, for renovation to the community, to the members of the Library of Things, of the L'Outillerie, like when you go to your municipality library and you rent a book.
Where did the idea come from?
I guess many people had the idea over the past years because Library of Things popped up everywhere in the world. But for the L'Outillerie, there were like different people had the idea. Like me, it came in 2019 when we planted a hatch and we wanted to trim the hatch. And I was thinking about buying a hatch trimmer. But that cost some money. It didn't make sense right. to use it just once a year. So I thought about renting it in a shop where you can rent equipment. But after three times, I could have with the price I would have paid, I could have bought one myself. So then I found a group who was looking into this too. And I don't know how they got the idea, but so we came together and we wanted to create a project to work against the consumption, the overconsumption in our society, to do something good for the environment.
Right.
And also to give access to everyone, to not just to the rich or to the people who have big houses, big garages to store all these items, but to give access to everyone.
We talked a little bit earlier, but can you share a little bit about your background and kind of where you grew up and how that might have influenced what you saw or how you saw this need for a library of things?
Yes, so I grew up in East Germany, which was a socialistic country. And there we saw it, we had a different thinking from the West. We saw it more as a community. So there was a lot of mutual help. Was social and solidaric, and the goods were equally distributed. So yeah, that is where I'm coming from. I think I call myself like a person with a socialistic, being socialistic at heart, and I'm happier when everybody is equal. So when everybody has access to the same means and not one is more rich than the other. And I'm also happier when there's this community thinking, not this individualistic thinking as everyone as me, and trying to get further than the other. But I like the us thinking, the we thinking.
So you'd met these other people interested in the idea of a library of things. What made you guys decide to move forward with it and make it a reality?
We thought that there's a need, and we thought it would help, during the past years, we talked a lot about climate change and environment, and there are so many movements that they go in so many different directions. So the consumption is one big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And now we produce a lot of CO2 by producing things. And sharing it's one way to reduce CO2 there. And why we went forward, well, we always thought it's a really great idea. We're already sharing books. Why not share other things as well? And we talked to many people in the community here in Rimouski, we only got positive feedback. So then, you know, that gave us the courage to really move.
Does this exist a lot else in Canada or the province of Quebec?
Yeah, in Quebec, we have a few tour libraries like La Remise in Montreal or La Patente in Quebec.
I was there a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Ah, good. What did you learn?
I did. Actually, I went to do a welding workshop, and it was cool. It was fun. So they have both the rental aspect, but also they have a atelier or like a workshop space where if you want to do your own woodworking or welding, either you can come and bring your stuff, or they have classes to teach you how to do it.
Yeah, actually, that's what the UTRI wants to do too. We offered a few workshops in the past, but now we are really getting into it, because it's one thing to lend out the equipment, but another thing to show how to use it.
Yeah.
And to, you know, actually build something with the members of the community.
Yeah, no, it was so cool, and I, you know, now feel like I know just enough that I could probably do a small thing if I needed to. Again, there's quite a bit of equipment that you know, the sort of upfront cost to buy the equipment you need to do welding is fairly high. But again, I could rent that from La Patente.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I imagine it's that same kind of idea with the UTRI. What kind of classes are you thinking of doing?
I've seen two classes that are coming up very soon. One, it's about electricity, and the second one, I forgot.
Okay.
But just to come back to your question, so there are two libraries like in Canada. And actually, when we developed, you know, our library of things, we were looking a lot. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel, so we were looking a lot elsewhere. So we looked here in Quebec, we looked in Canada, in Toronto, for example, they have a tool library also. We looked in, you know, even further, Europe and even Australia. In Sydney, they have one. I'm from Germany, so they have one in Berlin. And yeah, so and we wanted to get the best things for from all these tool libraries to set up our own library. Yeah, so we used a lot of elements from different websites, for example, when we created our own website.
So there is somewhat of a framework of how to do what you've seen, what works and what elements you could take.
And as tool libraries, they're really open to share their knowledge, because it's a mission, you know, they have this mission at heart, and they're very happy to share everything.
So you're in the beginning of the process, let's actually do this. How did you choose the model? Is it going to, whether it's a cooperative or a nonprofit, what made you decide on this, or how did you decide the structure?
So for this too, we worked a lot together with La Remise, the tool library in Montreal, and we were looking into two models, either in a non-profit, like an OBNL, or a co-op. And we had someone in our team who has done a lot of accompaniment with different organizations. And he had this knowledge, and he suggested that we would start with a non-profit, because all the paperwork, all the reporting, is less demanding.
Is it still a nonprofit, or has it changed to be a cooperative?
Yeah, no, it's still a nonprofit.
Still a nonprofit. Okay. In getting it started up, what were some of the challenges from when you said, okay, let's do this, to when it opened?
So at the beginning, our biggest challenge was to find a location.
Okay.
You know, we started having no money. We wanted to do funding demands, but and we also wanted to do crowdfunding, but without having a location, you couldn't get the money, and without having the money, you can't really sign a contract.
Right.
So we tried different things. We went together with other organizations. We wanted to create a third place. For example, we wanted to buy the old barrack of the fire department.
Okay.
And we even did a commitment to purchase the barrack. And yeah, the wheel decided, it was the wheel selling it. And we thought we had a really cool project, you know, with other organizations in it, very social, very community based. And finally, the wheel sold it to the highest bidder, which transformed it then into office space. Then we had another project, also a third place. With organizations who were more in the food sector, and somehow because we are lending out equipment for kitchen too, we thought it would fit. Because one of their projects actually was a tool library for kitchen stuff, so they were happy to that we do the work, so they integrate us in their project. But this didn't work out either. So then at one point we thought we could get a container. In some parts of the world they have tool libraries in containers, but that did not work with the regulations of the
like shipping containers, like the
shipping containers. So that didn't work with the regulations of the wheel. So many different avenues, and at the end we found a commercial location, and the owner was nice enough to give us 4 months of free rent.
Okay.
And but with this, once we signed, and we took a risk to sign. We were able to get funding from a special envelope from the city to help us doing the startup of our organization, and we could also do a crowdfunding with the platform La Ruche.
How did the crowdfunding campaign go? Where did you find people were enthusiastic, or did it take a lot of explaining and promoting?
Yeah, it went very well. So we did a video, and we went to talk to people. We were, for example, present at the Saturday market. We have a market here in Rimouski. We were there with a kiosk to talk to people, I think 2 summers. We tried to reach as many as we could, and our campaign was a success. We reached out also to companies and to other organizations to support us to be part of this to give us donations during this funding campaign. So that was a big success, and people they loved the project, and The big challenge is, it's coming now. I mean, we had a lot of challenges, but one of the current challenges is we did the startup, and we had the money for the startup. We got some funding also from Recyc Quebec, for example, and we got funding from Économie Sociale du Bas-Saint-Laurent, from the Pôle d'Économie Sociale, and
right.
From the SOPER, which is the Société de Promotion Économique de Rimouski.
Okay.
But now that we did the startup, we are missing a little bit financing to develop further, because usually it takes not just 1 year for an organization like this,
right?
To be profitable and to survive on self-generated revenues. I don't know. So that is one big challenge, to become really autonomous financially.
No, I've seen that being a challenge in a lot of social economy enterprises and projects like yours. There's a lot of startup funding options, but once it gets up and running, that's a process, and profitability or whatever you want to call it, being able to be financially stable is a process. And there aren't as many options for support for that.
Mm-hmm. And we were hoping that the population, you know, that that would really come to the library, pay their membership. But despite really liking the library, we didn't have as many members as we were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this problem to get known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people, I talked to many people and you know, the most of them, they don't know what a two library is and that it exists in Rimouski. So we're doing a lot of promotion, but we don't seem to reach the whole community, the whole population here in Rimouski and surrounding.
You mentioned memberships. What is your structure? Do you have to purchase a membership before you can rent anything, or can you rent things as a just one time? How does that work?
So actually both is possible. We do have membership for like annual membership, and we also have membership for like we have a Carta Point where you can rent so many times and so for a shorter period for maybe a month or so. So both is possible. And we have different categories. So for individual, for families, and for companies and for organizations. And we also have many volunteers who are working for us. This is possible because of the volunteers, pretty much. And so one thing we can give to them is a free membership.
Okay.
So if they are doing 4 hours of work per week for the Uteri, then they can rent out the tools and the equipment.
What is your clientele like? Is it older people, younger people, or are you surprised that it's more one and not the other, less one and not the other?
I think I see a lot more younger people who are really enthusiastic about this project. Maybe also because, you know, when you have a house, when you own a house since many, many years, you probably have all the tools already, so there's not really a need. And these are younger people who are buying houses. They are more our clientele, and yeah, they find the idea cool, so they want to help with the library of things.
When you say library of things, tools, younger people probably don't own houses as much, so are they, what kind of things do younger people rent?
And they don't, it's not just that they don't own houses, but they also don't need to own things, you know? And
right.
I think the way of thinking changes in younger generations.
Do you find that with younger people, they don't have the need to own as many things?
Yeah, I have the feeling, like me, myself, I don't know if I'm older generation or younger, I'm in between, I think. But yeah, no, I don't have the need to own.
What sort of things do younger people tend to rent if they may not have as many major home improvement projects or things like that?
I do volunteers work, but more in the finance sector.
Okay.
So I'm helping with the accounting. So I'm not there every day to see what people are actually lending. I can tell you what we lent, what we are renting from the library.
What are you renting? Go ahead.
So, for example, at the weekend, my daughter, she has had a sleepover, so we got a big popcorn machine.
Okay.
You know, yep. Such a big one they have in the cinema.
Yep.
It was really, really fun for her to do popcorn like this. And we had a dehydrator at one point to dry fruits. I always thought about buying one, but I always thought, no, another tool that is in my kitchen for a year. And I Sisa, how many times?
How many times have you ever needed to use a dehydrator?
Exactly.
Like, it's, yeah, you might once in a while, but to own one, yeah.
And then we recuperated some wood. We have an old house, and it was not so nice anymore. So we got a machine at the Uteri that took off a layer of the wood, and now it's like perfect wood to work with. And we did our ceiling in our house, like in our entrance with this wood.
Cool.
Yeah, and that was like more a specialized equipment that we would really not buy.
Right.
So these days, the Uteria, I saw that they bought a lot of gardening tools, like lawnmowers, electric lawnmowers, and tools that you need for gardening because it's the season.
And I imagine for a lot of the tools, there's, especially the outdoor ones, there's a level of safety and security that comes into it, that you want to make sure that people who are using it know how to use what they're taking out. Do you offer instruction on how to use it, or kind of that? What's the safety and liability kind of aspect for a tool library?
Yeah, so our tools, they come with a description, and we also put the link to YouTube videos, for example, of how to use it. And we ask members to sign a discharge of responsibility paper.
Right.
And yeah, we also have an insurance, but they're signing a discharge paper.
Okay.
So for this too, we looked at how other libraries are working, and that's the common way.
Is there an issue with people not bringing items back either on time or at all?
No, so far there isn't. I mean, people don't always bring the things back on time, and then we charge like a late fee, and they are paying this. But so far, no. It's good people who are coming also for the mission. They don't only come to get a tool, but they come and it's a nice atmosphere there, and it's like-minded people who rent things.
What have your successes and challenges been since it opened?
One, like I said already, like for a challenge, it's the financial situation.
Right.
It's still good. It's going well, but we need to have a lot more members, and also we're getting the workshops running now. So this is another source of revenues. Another challenge is the recruitment and also keeping volunteers. So we're doing a lot of publicity to get people interested to work as volunteers in the library, to be able to have more opening hours. And things that are going well, we received funding and to buy tools and equipment to a big sum to offer a bigger variety of really higher class equipment.
Okay.
Yeah, but we have also received a lot of donations. So people they are giving the tools that are that they are not using in their homes regularly. They are donating it to the library.
Okay.
So we have received a lot of donations.
Do people approach you, or how do you get people to donate things to you? Do you have to do a lot of promotion advertising, or do people just approach you and say, hey, I have this thing, would you guys like it?
Both. On our website, we have a formula where people, they can give us donations of objects, of things. And we were twice, sometimes we go to events, for example, twice at the market, but we participate in other events, and we promote them as, come meet us. And also if you have donations, we're happy to receive them. And but people also come by themselves because they're happy to get rid of their stuff, and to have more space. And yeah, and they're happy to give it for a good cause, to give it to the community.
Is it?
Instead of selling it on eBay or something.
Yeah.
They're happy, it gives them a better feeling to give.
What's the most unusual object you have in the inventory?
The most unusual. Yeah, I've seen some objects. At one point we did a quiz, they showed a picture and we had to guess what this is for.
Okay.
Like sometimes we get really historical instruments. I'm not so much equipment. I set up a library of things, and I'm not too much in equipment.
For older equipment, will you, if somebody has a strange old piece, will you accept it? Or there's some things, do you turn away many offers of?
Yeah, we also, depending on the functionality, huh?
Okay.
And also the security. And
right.
Sometimes people bring things that are broken. So we have a policy actually that the tools, they have to be in a certain state.
Okay.
You know, they have to be in good shape, because this is another, like we do fix equipment. We have a little repair shop also with our volunteers, but we don't want to put too much work into this. And we want to lend out good quality equipment, so people, they don't buy better quality stuff, but that they come to us.
Do you have any paid staff, or your what? How does that work? As far as, do you have just volunteers?
Yeah, we do have a coordinator, and that is one thing we also found out talking to other library of things, and like we asked, for example, La Remise, if he could do anything differently, what would it be? And the answer was that they would try to employ someone a lot sooner than they did, because it's hard on the volunteers, you know, who go to work every day and who do this at outside of their jobs to take care. For example, there's a big turnover of volunteers, but also to coordinate the shifts and or just the accounting, just paying invoices. If it's all volunteer based, it's really hard on the volunteers.
And you do your accounting on a volunteer basis?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
I'm helping.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah. The coordinator is doing the basic accounting. I gave him a training, and I do help him, and I help with the budgets too, and also with the annual report at the end, with the annual financial statements. But he's doing the everyday basic accounting, so I would not do this as a volunteer. It's too much work.
And how many hours a week is the Tuileries open?
So we are open from Tuesday to Friday, from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And we are open on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m.
What do you see as kind of next steps? Or what do you hope the future is for Le Tuileries? Is it, you know, is it being open every day? Is it having another location? Where do you see growth happening?
For now, we have to try to get known better among the population, to have more members who support us and who actually come in and rent out things. And we are doing funding demands. We have to develop special projects, because it's very hard to fit into the existing programs. As a tool library, so we have to develop projects, because it's much easier to get project funding. Right now, we just received a positive answer for funding demand to set up our workshops.
Okay.
So that is cool, and we're trying to. One good thing last year was that the student association of the university here in Quebec, in Rimouski, they gave us a donation, and we gave access to their members, to all the students. So all the students are members of the UTRI.
Oh wow!
So we hope that that this will happen again this year, so that they will continue. And that's also one reason why we saw a lot of young people coming into the library. We have to work on the financial side to get this into a solid place, the UTRI.
How many members do you have currently?
Currently, I think around 100. I did ask. I did ask the other week, but I saw so many numbers in between. I think it was around 100, but we could use more, and also more organizations. You know, where we have special agreements. So they can offer it to their members. Yeah, and then of course we have this this envelope, this funding envelope to buy equipment. So we continue to make it more and more interesting, the tool library.
Do you feel like you've been well supported locally, whether it's from Ville de Rimouski or other organizations in the area? You talked about working with the Pôle d'Économie Sociale. Does it seem like the community is aware of you, supportive? Are you happy with the response you've gotten?
Yeah, for the startup, definitely.
Okay.
For now to continue, we hope to get more in the future. So many members, they think that many community members, they think that it's going very well, and they're happy it exists, but they're not using the services yet, and they're not members yet. So they were really helpful to set it up, to start and doing the financing, the crowdfunding campaign. But now we need them to
actually use the service,
to come, be active, and to continue to support us financially. But you know, also by coming, you know, helping us as volunteers, giving volunteer hours, and helping us promote the library as well.
Anything else on your end that you'd like to share about the experience, or any sort of suggestions you might give to individuals or groups looking to start either a similar tool library or really any kind of social economy enterprise along these lines?
I believe that if you have a good project that is valid and you know, that is for the benefit of the community, that it, you know, it takes a lot of work, but I believe that anything is possible. You know, and Quebec is like leading in social economy in the world. So if somewhere something is possible, then it's here in Quebec. And but it's, you know, it doesn't come gratuitement. You have to really work for it. And you know, it took us 3-4 years to set up this project. And it's you know, It's 4 years. You don't have the same motivation over 4 years. So it takes people who like they become your friends, right? Who are really dedicated and enthusiastic. But even the most dedicated people, you know, sometimes on the way, if you see you go in different avenues and avenues close, you know, then to continue. So it's a motivation. The motivation goes up and down, and you have to re-motivate yourself and the others again and again. And yeah, if you stick to it and you work on it and you give time, then it will happen. It will happen. Yeah. So we were a really cool team, it was the same group of people pretty much from the beginning who brought this to, you know, to existence, this library, and to opening and to running. So I think it doesn't take so much people with expertise, because this you can learn, but it takes people who are really motivated and who want something to happen, because you can always learn all kinds of, you know, you can gain knowledge, but you can, if you're not enthusiastic, if you're not a motivated person or willing to give hours, then you will stop on the way.
If anyone's in the Rimouski area, where can they find L'Outillerie, either in person or look at maybe what you have to offer online?
They can go to outillerierimouski.ca, O-U-T-I-L-L-E-R-I-E. And we're right in Centreville, in downtown Rimouski. We're on Saint-Germain-Est. The address is 106 Rue Saint-Germain-Est, 106C. And it's the patisserie Olivier. It's on on the other side, it's on the back, so it's you can reach it from the back side of this building, from the parking place. So if you come with your car, it's very easy to take out the tool and put it right into your car.
Thank you so much for joining us, Anya. I first met you a couple years ago, and we chatted about the Outillerie right from the first time we met, and it's been interesting to follow it. And I'm really happy that it's come to life, and that you guys have done the whole process that you talked about, bringing it through with a bunch of motivated people. And no, I'm so happy that it's open, and it sounds like it's you guys are making it work.
Yeah. No, I'm very happy that you invited me to talk in this podcast, and yeah, you will help us to promote this library. So I'm very, very happy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Anya for joining us. The Outillerie is really an interesting project, and hopefully their success will continue. We hope you enjoyed our conversation today. If you have any questions, if there are any guests you'd like to see, or even if you're a social entrepreneur who would like to be featured on the show, feel free to reach out to us at info@cnet.ca. That's SEE-NET. We'll see you next time.
This podcast project has been made possible with the financial support of the Secretariat aux Relations avec les Québécois d'Expression Anglaise.